Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one, and we do give everyone a warm welcome. Maybe somebody could open a couple of them windows so that nobody falls asleep. You know, when Brian was here the last time, or also the time before, he says, "Tom, I'm going to tell you something that I read Spurgeon said. He said, always keep a window open in the meeting. Let the air flow through, because you find people asleep." And I thought they'd never sleep when I was preaching, but they're able to. So I'm going to try and open the windows. Praise God. But we do want the windows of heaven to open. The Lord bless each one that's made an effort tonight. I know it's hard to get people to come. My wife was trying to get someone to come as well, but they weren't for coming. They had other plans. But there's a day coming, you know, when we're going to meet the Lord. And I'll tell you, no matter what plans we have, we'll have to meet with the Lord. Praise God. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 7. And maybe some people's heard me preach from this lines before, but I don't apologize for that. I just felt led to take this scripture and preach it again. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let us just bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that the entrance of thy word giveth light. I pray that the glorious light of the gospel will shine in our hearts and in our midst tonight, and upon men and women this evening in this house, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I ask that you'll bind every work of the devil, that you'll spoil his goods and bring them to naught in Jesus' name. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me tonight, and I thank you that you undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to say tonight, from this text tonight, that there's only two ways. There's not three ways or four ways. There's only two ways. That's God's way and man's way. And man's way is always an imagination, and that's a vain one at that. But God's way, there's always a revelation. We see the two ways right from Genesis in Cain and Abel. We see that Cain offered very well, for the Bible says he did. But the Bible also says Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by faith. So Abel had faith to bring the right offering, and Cain had no faith and he brought the wrong offering two ways. The way of Cain was the wrong way, but the way of Abel was by blood was the right way. And there's always only been two ways. That's man's way and God's way. Man's way takes you away from God. God's way leads you to God. So when you're in your own way, you're out of God's way. Do you know that? You say, "Brother, when we're in our own way, we're a yes." For the Bible says in Ephesians that we were all aliens, drawn away from the commonwealths of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Strangers to the promises of God. That's when we were in our own way. You know what else it says? We were in sin. And we were dead men walking in our own way. But thank God for his way. You see, in this scripture we have read tonight, there's two gates, two ways, two companies, and there's two ends, all twos. I know our brother Brian preached a very similar message to this when he was here. So I think God wants us, somebody, to hear it again. Let me read you this. You can't guide yourself. There's two ways that that's your way and God's way, and when you're on your way, you have to forget your own way to find God's way. So you have to forget your own way to find God's way. Many people have a saying today in the world. How many have you ever heard that? I'll do my own thing. I will go my own way. I've heard it lately. I'm of age now. I will go my own way. Our own way does not lead us to God. It cannot lead us to God because we're born in sin. And we're sheep in iniquity. Strangers from the covenants and promise of God. We need a guide. And the guide we need is the Holy Spirit. And that guide will lead us God's way, not our way. First thing I want you to look at tonight from this scripture is the way into life. And what does this mean? In John 3:36 it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." So there's only true life through believing in the Son of God. There's no life outside of believing in Jesus Christ. The man and woman that's going through life that's never trusted in Jesus Christ, it won't matter if they're religious, it won't matter if they stand in the Bible, it won't matter if they join the biggest church, it won't matter even if they pray. It's all in vain if they've never trusted Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only door into heaven. The gate suggests the idea of a city, a place of safety, fellowship and plenty. The life which is in Christ is a life, and I'm going to name you three things, of safety from the wrath of God. That's the first one. The life in Christ is a life of safety from the wrath of God. If you're not in Christ tonight, you're under God's wrath, for the Bible says it. Him that hath the Son hath life, but him that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Number two, a fellowship with God. There's no fellowship without God. You need to have God, be in Christ, to have fellowship with God. If you're not in Christ, you never can have real fellowship with God. I remember when I was only a young boy going to hear Ian Paisley preaching in the Free Presbyterians in Dromore. And Ian Paisley preached from Ephesians. And he preached about the homeless soul, the hopeless soul. And he said that's the soul without Christ. The soul without Christ is homeless, is helpless, and it's hopeless. And he preached a whole sermon about the homeless, helpless, hopeless soul. Because it didn't have Christ. And it's so true tonight. Fellowship of God. Here's number three. Of satisfaction in the fullness of God. There must be a passing from death to life. There must be a time when we die. Spiritually die. There must be a funeral. There's a scripture says in the Old Testament, is the old man dead? And I tell you, Paul says, when we trust in Christ and we're born again, Paul says we're new creatures. That means recreated. That's what it means. You're the new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. And behold, all things become new. That's why Jesus says, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. We must put the Lord first. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." That means judgment. But is passed from death unto life. There's no judgment to the believer as till that you're ever going to be lost, because once you're saved, you'll never be lost. There's rewards, there's levels, sure there is. But Romans 8 says there's now no condemnation, no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. I tell you, I don't want to wait to be judged. I want to receive the judge now. And I want his blood to cleanse me. I want you to see the first thing about this scripture tonight, about these two gates and these ways, is it's an open way. This way here is a narrow way, but yet it's an open way. God's way is straight, God's way is narrow, but thank God it's open. It's open tonight. Whosoever will may come. Behold, I've set before you Revelation 3:8, an open door. So the way is straight, the way is narrow. And all these things are true, but it's an open way, it's a clear way. And whosoever will may come this way tonight. This way was closed up and fenced up by the law in Romans 5:12-21. If you read it, You will read, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. One man brought sin into the world. You see, did you ever notice, even when you're saved, the devil takes a stick to your regular? And you say, he never does it with me, brother. Well, I doubt if you're saved then. That's the truth of it. Oh, he'll condemn you. That's his job. I can prove it from the Bible. The Bible says he is an accuser of the brethren. That doesn't mean the brethren assembly now. Now I'm all for the brethren assembly. But it means the brethren, all believers. How many can say amen? He's your accuser. He'll accuse you. You see, when you're living for God and serving God, he'll accuse you that you're not religious enough. That's the devil. You're not saved because you're religious. You are saved because of what Jesus Christ done for you on the cross. That's why you're saved. You simply believe it in childlike faith. You accept what Christ done for you on the cross, and you're saved. And you're not saved for a week or a month. You're saved for all time and for all eternity. I believe in eternal security. That when the Lord saves you, he'll not lose you next week. For the Bible says, I thank you, O Father, that I have lost none that thou hast given me. Praise God for that tonight. But when you read this, Romans chapter 5, right down through it, you'll see, verse 19, for as by man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Verse 21. That as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The devil thought he had it. Adam fell. Adam brought in universal condemnation. Adam brought in universal separation. Sin entered into the world by one man. Your Bible tells you that. But righteousness and the free gift entered in by one man, Jesus Christ. So as John Adam brought in universal condemnation, universal separation and banishment. Because the saddest picture in all of your Bible is when God escorted Adam and Eve out of the garden. And the tree of life was guarded by cherubim with flaming swords of fire. The way to the tree of life was protected, and you don't go near or you die. But thank God today that the Holy Spirit leads us to the tree of life. Jesus Christ being that tree. Christ opened this way up through bearing our sins and becoming obedient unto death. It is a new and living way, consecrated, set apart for us. There are no back doors into the kingdom of God. You know, it's amazing if you take the studies in this Bible on the tabernacle. Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness. If you take Solomon's temple, there's two examples. There's many other ones, them's two main Bible teaching examples in the Bible. But there's one thing you'll notice about them, there's one door in. And the Bible stresses it, and the Bible emphasizes it, that though you're looking at that tabernacle, and the curtains go right round it, and your pillars right round it, and curtains between them, there's one door in. One way and only one way. Jesus Christ is that one way. And if you were to take the tabernacle tonight, the tabernacle is upheld with four pillars. Four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And then you have your colours. You have the purple, which speaks of the royalty of Jesus Christ. He's the Son of a King. You have the blue that speaks of the Lord from heaven. He's not of the earth. He come from above. You see the white that speaks of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see the gold woven through it, which speaks of supreme deity, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Behold, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in Jesus Christ the Lord. You see the red which speaks of his precious blood, the blood of the Lamb, which washes and cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness, all in the Bible. But there's only one way in. You can't come in the back door. Didn't they find the man that came into the wedding that wasn't invited? And they said, how did such an one get in that wasn't invited? Gather him up and throw him out. There's only one way into this wedding supper, and that's through the door that God's provided. And that's God's provided way. Jesus Christ is that way. You can take no one door into the ark. You couldn't get in the back of the ark or the front of the ark. It was one door right in the middle of the ark. One door. One way to God. Thank God tonight this way is straight, this way is, you know, strict in the eyes of some, but thank God it's open. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can never reach God if you don't come through Jesus. You can't do it. He's the mediator. I was very near going to preach on that tonight. The advocate and the mediator. Jesus is your advocate. And he is your mediator. He's the one that can talk for you. He's the one that's took your place. He's the one that stands between you and God. No man can approach God of his own esteem. Christ had to come in our room, in our stead, for we were sinners. Yes. By nature and sinners by birth. We were lost. Absolutely lost. There's no good thing in a man. Some men preach I could be good enough and redeem myself. That's false teaching. We are, man is absolutely degenerate. Man can go as low as a pig. That's the truth. That's how low he can go. And you can read your Bible and prove it. You can read that God brought Nebuchadnezzar down to the field with the cows where he ate grass. You can read of the prodigal son that went amongst the swine and fed with them. Yes. That's how low man can go. There's no good thing in a man. Jesus says there's none good. No, not one. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's the only Savior. That's why he's the only way to God through this door, Jesus Christ. Let me read you this. What is the door? Revelation 3:8. I know thy works, behold, have set before you an open door, that no man can shut it. He is the door. The door, Christ is the door. He said in St. John 10, I am the door to the sheepfold. In the old country you find that a shepherd runs in his sheep after he counts them and sees they're all in. Then he lays down right in the door. The wolf can't come in without waking him up. Or his sheep can't go out without coming over him. Oh, how safely the sheep feel because the shepherd laid down in the door. Noah in the Old Testament stood in the door of the ark. Oh, listen, going to say something. He stood in the door of the ark, preached repentance and righteousness to the people that laughed at him. And in that same door that he stood in, no man could come into the ark except by the one door. Wasn't but one door in the ark. And there's only one way. All right, brother? There's only one way that goes into the body of Christ. There's only one door to the church of the living God. Jesus is the door. I am the door. I am the way. The road leads to the door. I am the door to the sheepfold. Revelation chapter 4, you can read it. Here's my other thought tonight. This way is narrow. Straight way. There's one way, it's a narrow way. Straight is a gate and narrow is the way. Perhaps like a gate on the sidewalk, maybe referred to here, where even camels were sometimes dragged through after stripping them of everything. Man needs to be stripping so he can enter in. He has to lay down every sin. You know, I'm going to quote you this scripture, and I'm sure everybody knows this scripture, Matthew 19:24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The eye of the needle is referred to the gates in Jerusalem that are left open just enough for a man to go through. That's what it means in the Bible. And if you're going to ever take the camel through that eye of the needle, he must be stripped down so they can squeeze him through. And I tell you, we need to lay down every sin, and we need to lay down every weight that besets us so that we can enter through this narrow eye of the needle into the kingdom of God. How many tonight, because the riches won't enter? How many tonight, because of worldly popularity, won't enter? How many tonight, because they're ashamed of their friends and family, won't enter tonight? How many? You say, brother, as far as I know, we're all saved, but somebody might get a hold of this tape and they're not saved. So I have to preach it just the same. And I want you to help me that are saved and pull on the Word of God. Praise God. I tell you, there has to be a stripping down. Self-righteousness is not admitted. This gate is too narrow. As the new birth, the straightness is not with God, but in man's utter unfitness. If the way be narrow, it leads to the large place.
No effeminate can enter it. Your Bible says it in Revelations. I tell you, we're living in a generation that I've never seen before. I'm almost 50 years of age. I remember when I was a boy like these boys. I never remember anything like the race today.
And it's no more just what they say gays today or homosexuals today. That's old news now. They talk about transgender and they talk about banner.
Now, I don't even know what all them things mean, but this is the modern day language. Somebody can be binary. They don't know what they are.
I tell you, thank God, when your parents had you, they said he's a boy or a girl, and there was a way of knowing. And you can never change that. And somebody that doesn't know, that's an unclean devil's got a hold of them and got them confused. That's what that is. Let's tell the truth about it. That's a demon power. And they don't know what they are, and we have a bunch of politics that won't say a word. And a bunch of people on radio stations, and they won't say a word. And you'd hardly say anything if it took the court and put in jail.
But what about John? John preached it. In the New Testament, John said, let the axe be laid to the root of the trees, let the chips fall where they will. John preached it.
I tell you, Sodom and Gomorrah was burned. Because when God sent two angels down, they were like men. And they were down into Sodom and Gomorrah, and they went into Lot's house. And the Bible says the man of the city pressed the door of Lot's house. And Lot says, I have two virgin daughters that's never been with a man. Take them and do what you will with them. And the man of the city said, no, we don't want the women. We want the two men that come into you tonight. And the two angels smote them of blindness. And they groped at the door.
And you remember God in our day and God in our generation through the mouth of a prophet said,
that's to repeat for this generation. There's smoke with blindness. I tell you, we need the eyesight of the Holy Ghost today. And people are smoke with blindness. And the things that used to be filthy, they don't call filthy no more, but they're still filthy. And that's the land we're living in. We've no call to look at America. We've no call to look at England. We've no call to look nowhere else. We can look right here now, and it's as filthy as anywhere else. That's the truth. How many believes that? Now I tell you something, people, you know, it's only God that's keeping it the word is now. But if some people had their way, they would have abortions, they would have all sorts of stuff brought in here.
And men marrying men, and women marrying women, and it's not a marriage, because a marriage means a union between a man and a woman. That's marriage. The other's an abomination.
That's the way we're living in. And I tell you, it's sad, isn't it? It's the way of the few. Few there be that find it. I tell you, this way is straight. Here's the third thought. It's the way of the few. Few's going in this way. There's few on the right road tonight. There's a lot of people that are meeting and they're being religious, but they're not born again. They've never repented of their sin. Have you ever heard 50% of the politicians in this country that killed and murdered for years here, and they're asked the question, do you regret what you do? They say, you know, it was one of them things. They hibble around it. They won't come out and say I'm sorry. They never do it. They never repented. They've committed murders. They did all sorts, and they've never said that they're sorry, and they've never repented. But I tell you, there's a day coming when they're going to stand before the righteous judge. And they won't justify themselves before him.
The Bible says every man will have to give an account for the things done in his flesh before Almighty God.
And people say he was a great fella. He was only responsible for a few bombings. but he was a great fella. Now let's be honest about it tonight, that's a lie. He wasn't a great fella. He was the devil himself, incarnate in a man. He's a filthy sinner, just like every man and every woman that hasn't accepted Christ. They're lost, and they're on the way to hell. That's the Bible. And you know, it's the Bible truth. Hell's real. It's real, you know. Luke 13:23-26, look what it says. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Verse 26. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. Verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there that are last which shall be first, and there that first shall be last. And you have to take this scripture and know who Jesus is preaching to. Jesus is preaching to the religious world of his day. Jesus is preaching to the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus is preaching to the people that said, we know Moses. We've read. And they fail to see it. And how many is in religion today? And how many with the big steeples and big churches? And they fail to see the hour we're living in. The coming of the Lord is at hand tonight. And you couldn't get people into church. Oh, they don't mind letting on they're Christians. But they'll never take a real stand for God. Young person, you believe me tonight. I know what I'm preaching about. The devil will laugh you into hell, but he'll never laugh you out of it. Pleasure of sin lasts for a season. There's pleasure in sin, sure there is. But it's for a short time. But the gift of God is eternal life. Because few there be that seek it, seek and ye shall find. There are few on it, because many there be that shun it, preferring the darkness to the light, because their deeds are evil. Some put off, others hope to stumble into it by chance, but this is no chance work. Strive to enter in. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Want to tell you another thing about this way, another point of it. It's a crowded way. This way that people's going tonight, this wrong road, is a crowded road. It's a broad road. It's a crowded road. The other road's narrow. The other road's straight. Few's on it. But this road's broad. This road's big. There's many on this road tonight. It's crowded. And as a brother John once said, he said, they're not walking down it. They're running down it. You know, Jack Cole once preached a powerful sermon. And you know what it was called? Detours on the road to hell. And Jack Cole preached a sermon called Detours on the Road to Hell. And he preached a fine sermon, and the last point of the sermon was this. He said, my last point in this sermon and this last detour, this last blockage on the road to hell, if you can get past this blockage, there's no more hope for you. And he says, this blockage in Detours, Calvary. And if you can bypass Calvary, you're lost forever and you're finished. Detours on the road to hell. I tell you, the devil wants to keep people in a roundabout. Round and round the roundabout. that which alone can save and satisfy. Like a watch losing its main spring. Like a plant losing the earth from its roots. Like a man losing all his privileges and hopes. This way is a broad way, but it's a bad way. You don't want to go down this broad way. It suits the carnal mind. There's plenty of room in it for all the sinner's likes and pleasures. Plenty of room in this road for it. You can watch all the stuff you shouldn't watch. You can go to all the places you shouldn't go on this road. All that's on it. I tell you, you know, everything today is a tree of knowledge and good and evil. I keep thinking about it all the time. The phones, everything. Your telephone, it's like the knowledge of good and evil, right or wrong. There's good stuff on it, there's other stuff on it that's not good. It's all there, a fingertip. That's the world we're living in today. The world of flesh, the devil of all full scope here. It is broad enough for the staggering drunkard, for the dishonest, for the unclean, for the scoffer, for the proud, for the haughty, for the religious formalists, all are on this road. For the self-righteous, they're all on this road. But this is the wrong road. It's broad, and it's also a crowded way. The Bible says many go in thereat. It's easy going down the hill. Generally, man's first choice is the broad way. All of us were on it. I know all about the broad way. I was in jail twice. I know what I'm preaching about. But I thank God he saved me and delivered me, set me free. Hallelujah. The heart of man is deceitful and wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. Above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? Let me read you this. Go out there and sit down in the river with your boat. You get your oars and start pulling up against the current. You don't make much time, and it goes hard. But you just once let loose in the oars and watch how fast you pass the trees going down, but look where you're going. When things are floating easy, remember you're going towards a great cataract down there of some sort. You're going toward the falls, and it won't be long. And you'll be going over the falls. Just floating with the world, easy way with it goes. No, sir, but you resist and accept your responsibility. And that's called a man running from the presence of God. And it's easy to go the way the world goes. A brother guy preached a good sermon once here about the salmon. And you know the salmon's different from the rest of the fish. It's easy when a fish to go with a stream, but the salmon, when it comes the time of year to respond and replenish, that more salmon come forward again. The salmon is something that kicks into gear within him. God's put it within him. And there's something that turns within that salmon and he goes against the stream. And he goes against the waterfall. And big, high waterfalls that you never would think a fish could go up. A salmon jumps up the waterfall. He goes against the stream. He goes against the flow till he reaches his destination and the eggs are laid so that more salmon can come forth. It'd be easy for the salmon to float on out into the sea and go the way that the flow takes him. It's easy to go with the flow, but it's hard to go against the flow. And I tell you, young man, tonight, it takes no faith to run the people in the world. It takes no faith for them to influence you to go to a disco and go to a pub and go to the wrong things. But it takes guts and it takes courage to go against the flow and say, I'm not going because I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes guts to do it. I tell you, God wants men and women that's going to go against the stream. Salmon. It's going to go against the tide of life. And sell it all for Jesus Christ. Man prefers a pleasure to sin to the fellowship of God. Some are being pushed along the crowd without any serious thought. All are without God and therefore they're without hope because they're without God. Here's my last thought tonight. As we come to the close of this meeting, there's a fatal end on this broad road. There's a fatal end. A fatal end in this broad road. This broad road might look good for a while. This broad road might look pleasant for a while. But there's a fatal destination at the end of this broad road. And that's why God sends preachers to preach. That's But you know, it's like the old boy once had on his t-shirt.
It said on the front of his t-shirt, "I am a fool for Christ."
And when they walked around the back of the t-shirt, it said, "Whose fool are you?"
The fool is saying in his heart, "There's no God."
But there is a God tonight. A God that hears and answers prayer.
There is but one, only one possible end to the way, destruction. As sure as a stone sinks to the sea, the bottom of the ocean. Man and women will perish that follows sin and follows not Christ. As a stone will sink to the ocean, a man without Jesus is on a destiny of destruction. A woman without Jesus is on a destiny of destruction.
But with Christ there's hope. Jesus Christ wants to save. Wants to change your life. What's wrong with that? That's what we want tonight. I tell you one thing, I wouldn't go back to what I used to be. I know fellas I used to chum with. There's things they used to be they wouldn't do. They never went as far as that. But today they're doing them. Sin has took them further. Some of them's not here today. Some of them's dead. They're gone. They're no longer in the land of the living. But I thank God, rich in mercy, turned me around. And I thank God I wouldn't change anything. I've had trials, I've had problems, I've had lots of things, but I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name's Jesus. I have someone that I can bow my knee and call upon in the morning, I can call upon in the evening. I have a counselor, and his name is Jesus. I have a comforter in my times of sorrow, in my times of pain, and his name's Jesus. When I don't know what to do, I can go in and close the door and cry unto the Lord. And the Bible says, if I cry unto the Lord, he'll hear me. And he'll lift me up.
And he'll set me on the hill. I can cry to the Lord tonight.
The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. I tell you, when you're on the Lord's side, you're on the right side.
Ezekiel 33 and 11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Jeremiah 21 and verse 8 is my last scripture. "And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Choose life." Choose life today. Jesus Christ is the only way of life. It saddens me when you see people and they're going along in a religion that there's no salvation in. And they're not to be laughed at, they're to be pitied. And we need to pray for people like that if we're real Christians. That God will open their eyes and bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Two ways tonight. What road are you on? Are you certain you're saved? Do you know you're saved? I tell you, if you're saved tonight, you're wanting to go God's way. You don't want to go the other way. Thank God for God's way. Jesus says, "I'm going away, but I'm coming again for my people." Jesus Christ is coming again to take his people to this earth. And God's going to judge this world. And this world's going to be burned with fire. And I'm glad tonight that I know the Lord Jesus. I can't claim I have much in this life, but I can claim I have salvation. I have the Holy Ghost. I have a home waiting in heaven. The Bible says, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things God's prepared for them that love him." I want you to go rejoicing the night that's saved. Thank the Lord you're saved. Live for the Lord. Don't live for the devil. If he tempts you this week, tell him to get behind you. Tell him you're living for the Lord. Tell others about it. Get yourself on fire for God. Not for the devil. God bless you. Let's come and bow our heads tonight.
I know I preached healing this morning, but if you're here tonight and you need a touch from God, you just lift your hand up while every eye's closed, every head's bowed. Just raise your hand up before the Lord. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. The Lord can touch you. Minister you where you are. I tell you, our God's able. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you this evening. And the entrance of thy word giveth light. We thank you for the glorious light of the gospel. And Lord, it says in Revelations, it's an everlasting gospel. We thank you for the everlasting gospel. We thank you for the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. The Savior of the world, the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Father, I pray that your word will speak to hearts and speak to lives tonight. Lord, grant the grace to men and women to come to the saving knowledge of the truth. Reach out to young men and young women. Maybe they'll get a hold and hear this sermon. May you save them and deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I ask for those with their hands raised that need a touch of their bodies. Lord, you know the condition. You know the need. Lord, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them. And Lord, it says in 1 Peter 2:24, he has own self bare our sins in his own body, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Lord, we know that healing's in the atonement. You were wounded for our transgressions, and with your stripes we are healed. Lord, this is your word tonight. Father, I pray you'll strengthen and heal those that need your touch tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, as a song leader comes at the close of this service, may you bless them, may you anoint them, and may you bless your own people, and may you do them good in Jesus Christ's name. Pray, Lord, for all our brethren that's visiting tonight, that you'll bless them. Pray especially for our brethren from Canada. May the hand of the Lord be upon them as they go out. And Lord, may you lead them and guide them and give them the very deep desires of their heart. Grant it to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As your brother Gary comes, God bless you, brother, if we don't see you. Take a greetings back to the home fellowship. And the Lord bless each and every one. Don't forget Wednesday night, a prayer meeting, 7:30. And let's continue on. Maybe we'd like more to come, but the Lord knows all them things. They had to go on anyhow. Amen. God bless every one of you.
We've been trying to sing that hymn, God's abiding peace is in my heart.